Colemans are glad to be home. Colemans are glad to be home as a family. We got our Christmas early this year. And it's my privilege to introduce to you this morning our new son, Noah Sergio Stephen Coleman, right here. Hi, Noah. This Christmas for the Colemans is about presents. It's not that this is the first Christmas we have known about Noah. Matter of fact, we've been pursuing Noah in adoption for 2 years, 2 months, and several days, and finally he is home with us. But this Christmas is about presents, because our son is home. He is with us. And we're thankful. Thank you for praying for Noah. Thank you for praying for us and the journey. Things are going remarkably well. We're very thankful. Noah has taken to us, and we have taken to him, and it's been a great joy. And so, as all the Colemans are saying, we've already had Christmas. We've had our Christmas presents. He is here. In a bigger scale, Christmas is about presents, isn't it? For the Colemans, for 2 years now, we have prayed for, we have waited upon, we have hoped for the day that Noah would come home. As a matter of fact, when we brought Noah home, we didn't even know if he would take to his name. And so when we were this last several days, the last couple of weeks, when we were with Noah in Albania, we kind of soft-pedaled that name to him. Noah? We'd call him Noah, and Noah Sergio, and Sergio. And finally, by about day three, when people would call him Sergio, he would say, Yo, which means no. Ime Noah. My name is Noah. Right off the bat, Noah had taken to a new identity. He was ours. We were his. It's been a joy these days to have this celebration in the Coleman family. And it's a joy to celebrate it with you, because so many of you have prayed with us and for us and walked along with us in this journey over these 2+ years. And today, Noah is present. And we're thankful. You know, I've been thinking a lot about presents this Christmas. The gift of being together, the gift of being near. And at the heart of Christmas, that is the Christmas truth. Emmanuel has come, God with us. Noah is present, and the Colemans are joyful. Jesus is present, and all mankind is blessed. Matter of fact, that's the heart of Christmas, isn't it? There's some striking ironies there for us as a family this week, because many, many, many have prayed for us and sought us out and cared for us and walked with us in this journey. It might surprise you to know that there's probably much more ado about the homecoming of Noah to the Coleman household than there was to Jesus' entrance into the world. More are knowledgeable this day of the presence of Noah in the Coleman home than there were of Jesus' incarnation, God, eternal God, becoming man into the world. As a matter of fact, the world almost wholly missed the coming of the Savior King. A few shepherds out in the field, a prophetess and a prophet in the temple, some wise men coming from afar, probably a couple years after Jesus had already moved into a house in Bethlehem. The world almost missed the presence of Jesus. The world didn't have room for Jesus, but Jesus has made room for us. This Christmas in the Coleman family, we're celebrating presence. And in the gospel story, in the story of Jesus' birth, we celebrate that same beauty, the gift of presence. At the heart of Christmas is this truth. Jesus has come. Jesus is here. Jesus is present. And so the gift of Christmas is the gift of presence, God with us. And as Luke tells the story, he opens our heart to that story. In Luke chapter 2, I want to read for you a couple of verses. And in those ragtag band of shepherds, who were the first reported eyewitnesses of the birth of the Savior. Just a few shepherds and a few angels and the glorious Savior, because Jesus has come. Let's pray and then we'll read God's Word together. Let me pray over this text. Father, we thank You this morning that we can celebrate. Father, my eyes are opened anew to how gracious You are, how good You are as a heavenly Father. Send Your only begotten, the eternal Son, into the world to be our Savior King. And Father, I pray the knowledge of Emmanuel, God with us, the truth of the God-man Jesus in our presence would transform us, that as we reflect, we might with reverent hearts receive the Christ who is. Father, give us the beauty of this text, because we ask that You would change our hearts by the truths of the Incarnation. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. A few verses from Luke chapter 2, verse 6. And while they were there, that is Joseph and Mary, as they had made their way to Bethlehem to be counted in the census. And while they were there, the time came for her, Mary, to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over the flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel of the Lord said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased." Notice the characters of our text this morning. There's Jesus, the Savior. There's a few shepherds who are told of the come Messiah, the one who has come. And there's a host of angels. And I wanted you to understand this morning something of Christ's presence among us. It began small. Few knew it. But it was the blessing of the ages to the world. And so first this morning in our text, as we consider the gift of Christmas, the gift of Christ's presence, I want you to see the shepherd's status. Jesus, the coming of Jesus, came in word to the least of these. The shepherd's status. You know, when we have our babies, when we have our children, we send out bulletins, notices, flyers. We send it out by Facebook. We send it out by announcement. We let everyone know that we've got a child. You know, that Yoda-looking little thing that comes in the announcement. The most beautiful baby you've ever seen. We tell the world our children are here. So, of course, God would speak to the fact that Jesus had come. But the surprise is who? Who God spoke it to? Yesterday, as we had made our way home and after 10 days of having our mail held, we had, I don't know, 30 or 35 Christmas cards. And so I was opening them and reading them. And I was saying to Marion, "Hey, Marion, did you know that the Atchisons had a new baby this year?" "Yes, her name's Cora." "Oh, well, there it is, Cora." "Hey, Marion, did you know that such and such had a new baby this year?" "Yes, she knew every one of them." Our friends far and abroad, she had seen the announcement. She knew all the children of our friends who had been born in the last year, and I was enjoying reading about them. They had been announced. And here's the marvel in the Christmas story. In the Christmas story, Jesus' birth, the eternal Son who becomes man, the infinite who takes on infancy, He is announced. But he's announced to shepherds. Now, I got to be honest with you this morning. When we read that, we get a little warm and gooey inside, don't we? When we read about the shepherds hearing about it, we've seen enough Christmas pageants done by our children that we've seen the clad in motif children come out and bow before a manger and give respect and homage to the Christ child. And we kind of get this warm feeling because we've domesticated and romanticized the picture of what the shepherds were. Now, in the Bible, there are times when shepherds are seen in a very positive light, right? Abraham, what was Abraham? Our father in the faith, as it were. Abraham, he was a shepherd. David, King David, he had an auspicious beginning before he was a king as one who cared for the sheep. As a matter of fact, many of you, your favorite psalm in the whole of the Psalter is Psalm 23, right? The Lord is my shepherd. But by the time we get here to Jesus' birth, to the time we get here when Israel has already occupied the land, the idea of shepherding had become a second-class citizen. Shepherds were untrustworthy in the culture in the day. As a matter of fact, it wasn't uncommon for shepherds to come to church and be told that they had to go away. There's some discussion in the rabbinical literature of the day of turning shepherds away because they were seen as kind of this second class of citizenship. They were the laboring lots. They were, in our language, they were the day laborers who stood on the side of the road just hoping to be hired. And they would take care of their sheep and they would pasture them and care for them. And when you're in an agrarian society, as Israel now was, it was the less desirable of the jobs. You couldn't sleep home at night. And they had a bad name, as it were, in Jesus' day. But isn't it interesting here? In verse 9, and in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch by night. And an angel appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. But the angel says, fear not, behold. Good tidings, great news. Why? Because Jesus, the birth of Jesus is announced to the least of these. It is announced to those who seem less than. Who gets the front row seat in the announcement of the birth of Jesus? Those who were most marginalized in the culture of Jesus' day. Now, don't run past that too fast. That is actually pretty important. Because of their soil status, nobody would have given them the time of day. But instead of coming to the religious elite, or instead of Jesus being born in a palace, that's where we expect glory to reside, he was born in a stable. No place for Jesus was found. But the people that Jesus would come for were notified. Why? Because Jesus comes to the least than. Jesus comes to the less than. Jesus comes to the one who can acknowledge he or she has a need. Jesus comes to the sinner. And if anybody was considered a sinner at the time of Jesus' birth, it would have been the shepherds or the tax collectors. The most demeaned career paths in the day of Jesus were to be a tax collector because you were an adulterer. You hated your own country. You were taking money for the enemies. Or a shepherd, because you were untrustworthy. And yet here we get that the ones who are told of the great coming, of the great king, are the least of these. These shepherds. Not the crew you would have expected to don the side of the hospital bed of the coming Messiah. But he didn't even have a hospital bed. He didn't even get a home birth. He got a stable birth. We can say our children are born in hospitals or our children are born at home. But I haven't seen many flyers for manger births. None of us want to put our kids in feeding troughs. But there was Jesus, received into the world in the meagerest of situations, by the meagerest of people. Why? Because Christmas presents is about meeting us where we have our greatest need. The presence of Christ comes at the point of our need, and all of us have a need. And some of us will acknowledge our need. But Christmas is about seeing a need. A need as sinners for a Savior. Now there's a status here. Jesus comes to the least of those who can acknowledge they have a need. These societal sinners, they were run roughshod over. They were the forsaken and the forgotten, but not by the Savior. Jesus had come. And isn't it interesting that the announcement comes to the least of these? But notice, secondly, this gift of Christmas that brings us the presence of Emmanuel, God with us. Notice that it's heralded. Not only does it come to a select few, but it is voiced by a grand choir. Here you have the angel's response to the coming of Jesus there in verse 13. After the angel, the one angel had voiced, this ambassador of revelation had voiced that Jesus was coming. In verse 13, after he had told them that there would be a babe born and wrapped in swaddling cloths and that they would find him in a manger, suddenly, that which we would have expected for a royal birth, there is the light of heaven. And there is the triumph of heaven as the multitudes sing. What do they sing? The heavenly host praising God and saying there in verse 14, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom His favor pleased. You know, it's interesting, as a pastor, I get to hear from time to time, you know, people's top 10 hymn selections. You know, sometimes when I'm working with a funeral, sometimes people just want to share that we haven't sung a certain hymn in a long time, and they would like to hear that hymn. And it's kind of interesting to me. Everybody kind of has their favorite hymns. And here's what I've discovered. Most of you, your favorite hymns are the hymns that you began to sing when you were kind of in your teenage and 20s. Those are the hymns you like. But there are some hymns that kind of transcend time. Kind of transcend generations. You know, those great hymns like Amazing Grace and Holy, 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 Great is Thy Faithfulness. Those are the kind of hymns that kind of make it into everybody's top 10 list. Well, I want to assure you, in heaven's top 10 list, this one is there. This song from the heavenly host, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace among those with whom He is pleased. Because there is the song of the amazement of heaven at the glory of God come down and the peace of God ushered forth and the favor of God placed on a wayward people. See, at the heart of Christmas is the promise of relationship. I mean, it's the certainty of the revelation here. Notice here, the exclamation point. Glory to God in the highest. Now, Christmas is, if it is anything, is the very disclosure of the glory of God to us. But it takes the angels to reveal that, because that glory has been veiled in the incarnation of the Son. It's vital that we understand that though glory has come, it has come in a person. You know, when we think of glory, we think of a splendor of a palace. And yet Jesus is born in a stable. But the glory that was promised to come by Isaiah in Isaiah verse 45, was that glory would be revealed in a Messiah. Glory would be revealed in a person. God's glory revealed in Jesus. And Christmas is about the revelation of glory. It's the exclamation point of the coming, God's solution for our dilemma. Jesus has come. Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace. When God's glory is displayed, God's peace is shed forth. And so there's the clarity of the revelation here, the exactness of the point. That in the incarnation, in the coming of the Savior, in Jesus Himself, the eternal Son, taking on human flesh, the glory of God is revealed and the peace of God is displayed. The exactness of what the incarnation is about making relationship, and God is revealing that through His messengers, the angels. There is the reception of a king. And the world missed it. But God declared it. Glory is to God, says one author, like brightness is to the sun. Glory is to God as wet is to water. Glory is to God as heat is to fire. You cannot divide the two. And here is Christmas presents. God among us, God with us, Jesus has come, and so glory is revealed. Christmas is the revelation of glory in the incarnation, the God-man, which ushers to us peace, a sense of well-being, shalom. The goal of Christmas is to bring our peace as God displays His glory in the Son, who would live and die and redeem and rise and be seated. We are reminded that Jesus is our peace. Jesus is our well-being. Jesus is our shalom. One of the many things we got to do this past week when we were in Albania was we got to visit a doctor. The U.S. Embassy picked for us a doctor where Noah would go and have a physical. Before he could be released into the U.S., he had to have a physical. And so I was a little worried about this, you know. So this is probably the third or fourth doctor that's checked him over. And so we were getting ready to go, and I don't know why I felt nervous. I just felt a little nervous about this part. They took blood in the morning. That wasn't much fun for a three-year-old. And in the afternoon, we were to go and see the doctor, and he was going to let us know that he didn't have any communicable diseases and give him a physical and check him over. And so we walked in, and we talked to the doctor, who spoke some English, and we gave him our $70, and he said, "Well, let me look at your son." And he pulled up his shirt and looked at his belly and turned him around and looked at his back and pulled down his pants and looked at his bottom and pulled them back up and said, "That'll be fine," and signed the paperwork. 37 seconds, $70. Noah was just fine. But he had looked in his eyes. And he was sure that he wasn't a funny-looking little kid. So he was sure that he was okay. And so Noah was released. He made a declaration that was important. It was a declaration of Noah's well-being on our behalf. Now, some of the doctors in the room might question the validity of those things. Maybe they wouldn't. Maybe a doctor does all that stuff in America. He knows right when he walks in, and he just does that for our sake. Maybe this doctor was just cutting to the chase. But whatever the point is, to get our son home, we had to have this declaration that he was well. In the incarnation, the coming of the Son is a declaration of well-being, a declaration of peace. The great treaty of God between man. I have declared it, it will be so. And it is well. Because Jesus has come. The angels can see. They can see what we can't yet see if we're stuck in the narrative of Luke chapter 2. The coming of the cross, the coming of the resurrection, the coming of a peace that extends to those who rest in the Savior. This song is a great song. It's a majestic song. It's a top 10 hit in heaven. Why? Because it declares the glory of God and the peace of mankind. The angels are driving home this point, that Christmas presence is what reconciles us to the King of Kings. Why? Because in this presence, in this present one, Jesus Emmanuel with us, comes the Savior, salvation. Notice there in verse 11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Now notice, they're to look for a sign. They're to look for a babe in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. Off they set, and there they find this Jesus, who will be joy. Verse 10. This is good news. This is joy for all people. The joy of Christmas today is the salvation of a Savior for us. As we flew across the ocean, flew across the Atlantic one way and the other, on these big planes now, they got your personal TV. So you can watch whatever movie you want to watch. And so there were 18, so I watched half of them. I think I watched 7 movies there and back again. nothing else to do, and I don't sleep on planes. And so at one point I was holding Noah, and he was crying in one ear, and I was listening to the movie Eat, Pray, and Love. Is that the right name? Eat, Pray, and Love. Anybody seen that movie? Yeah, none of you want to admit it because the pastor's going to talk about it, right? And an interesting storyline. I was intrigued by it because the basic premise of the movie is about a woman who's tired of her life, and so she just bolts, and she runs off across the world and visits three other countries to find herself. Interestingly, all those three countries start with I. Italy, India, Indonesia, and that's really the essence of the movie, this person trying to find herself. And at one point near the end of the movie, one of the points where I really tuned in, she said that at the point of finding herself, she found this, that God was within her as her. God was within her as her. That was the essence of who God was. Basically, she was God. And the storyline of so many lives today, even if we move away from the movie, is so many are trying to ascend the scales towards God, to make their way towards God, that they miss the very truth of the incarnation. The incarnation, the goal of Christmas, is not to get us to ascend again and again towards God, to make our way to God. It's to show us that God has made His way to us. The goal of life, beloved, is not to ascend to be God. The goal of life is to see the God who has descended and His man come to save us. The heart of Christmas is redemption. The heart of Christmas is the Son who saves as a supreme King over all. Notice there, this child would be born in the city of David. It was a promised kingship. This child would be born to save there in verse 11. He was born that this day in the city of David as a Savior, one who would redeem, and who is Christ the Lord, because He is supreme. You see, the incarnation counters our greatest dilemma. There is no way to God without Jesus. You know, in Jesus' day, there was the perceived dilemma. The people of Jesus' day were taken hostage by their common surroundings, just like we are. The biggest problems of our day are taxes and titles. Who's in charge? But Jesus cuts deeper than that. He goes to the real dilemma. The need of one to draw you forth to God. Jesus, the Savior King, always King. And now the promised Savior bridges the gap. And that is our joy. You see, it's a Savior's salvation that is a joy to these who receive Him. True joy at Christmas is the reception of the King. Why? Because the King at Christmas bridges the greatest gap. And so what do we do with Christmas? What do we do with these next few days when we'll be visiting one another? When we'll be sharing and feasting, when we'll be loving and presenting gifts to one another, we enjoy that time and we reflect with reverence upon the gift of presence. You know the real gift of Christmas? God with us. You know the real gift for the shepherds, the transformation there? Is that when they found Jesus in a manger, they found the King of Kings. The world around us may miss it, but don't fail to see the beauty of Christmas. God's presence. The infinite taking on infancy. The majestic taking on meager conditions. The mighty of all making Himself subject to our humanity, that He might draw us near to God. You see, Christmas, Christ, deserves our reflection. Reflect this morning. Reflect as we take the Lord's table. Reflect as you go out this week upon the goodness of God at Christmas. Because this is the Jesus you need. Yes, we need this Jesus in Christmas. The Jesus who is present. Jesus who is sovereign. Jesus who saves. Jesus who is Son. God's Son. And we need reverence. We need no other God but this God. We need the Savior like this because He is the one who transcends our greatest struggle. The dilemmas of our hearts are stymied, shattered, sabotaged because of the love of Christ for us. The gospel comes in a man. Good news is Jesus is here. Jesus who died, Jesus who's risen, the Jesus who gives Himself to you. In a couple of days, Christmas morning, about 9 o'clock, my family and the Hares and Dabneys and a couple other families will come up here and we'll read Luke 2 again. It's our Christmas tradition to remind us of the beauty of the presence of the Savior. You know, if you want to come, it'll be cold in here. We won't even turn the heat on for you. But we'll read and we'll pray and we'll thank Jesus for His presence. We'd love to have you come join us Christmas morning. But through this week, reflect, remember, and with reverence, trust in the beauties of the Christ who has come and the Christ who is here. Jesus for us, that's the beauty of Christmas. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, in the very beginning He came but to a select few. But it was the declaration of a need. And we acknowledge our need. Father, would You show us the glory and the peace that comes in the coming of Christ. For some of us this morning, it's hard to see. Because we really want to save ourselves. For us, Father, convince us of the beauty of Christ, that He is the only salvation. And for those convinced of the need of Christ, would You confirm the presence of Christ in our hearts that we might delight that what we have in Christ is better than all that is offered elsewhere. Show us the beauty of Christ and the joy that is ours. For we praise You in Jesus' name. Amen.